Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Wheat futures in Chicago rallied $1.50 this week, and Minneapolis led it higher. That doesn't sound like the top is in. We'll find out why today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Greg Wagner of Ag Horizon Strategies from Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Let's open the discussion with this question today. What are the odds Wednesday afternoon were, what odds were you putting, rather, Wednesday afternoon on the rally in corn being done? And we'll start with you, Wyatt Muse.
I don't think it's over with by any means. A year ago, or how I did.
That's not the question. On Wednesday afternoon, what do you think? What were you saying?
The technicians always say that the key reversal holds, but that's only tradable for a day. This fundamental market seems strong enough. I don't think the eyes were in.
Matt Bennett?
Well, I would agree. I think it looked as though, you know, definitely things had changed just a little bit. You went up and made a high and then and closed lower on the day and 7-8 cents lower. So, you know, I think there were several people that were a little bit nervous, but this thing just keeps coming right back at you. So I there's so much buying underneath this.
And Kirk Kimmel.
Well, I had high odds thought. The top's in. I go with the technical picture, reverse down. It did follow through for a little bit. Until that top's taken out, you got to view some resistance up here. Friday's trade, we went 62% back to that high and sort of failed. So if you're a hedger and you got something to sell, you got to keep a close eye on it. But long-term speculator, the trend's still higher with the moving averages. But I kind of respect that, and I'm going to use that as a benchmark to go by.
No, what do you work with next week then? What puts the top in the market for next week?
Well, it's a matter of whether wheat trades or not. gosh darn. I mean, if wheat wouldn't have been limited up, I don't think the corn and beans would have held any positive territory whatsoever Friday afternoon. And I think it's a reflection of traders trying to spin off the limit moves in Minneapolis, even Kansas City and Chicago.
MOSDI numbers were out from USDA on Friday morning, showed corn at $1.438 billion. That was a bit above the average trade guess, but was the same as what USDA had released in January. Many had expected USDA would raise the yearly export totals for corn, but that didn't happen. Do you think this is because the government expects rationing to take place yet later this year?
Well, that could possibly be it. I also think that you read quite a bit about several of the countries that are buying farther out. I think that they don't want to get caught in a situation where we do have weather problems. I think it's generally perceived that if we have any sort of spring weather problem, with the way this market's so volatile and all the money that's flowing into the market, we could rally $1, $2 pretty easily. Whenever you say wheat was up $1.50 this week, obviously on a 30-cent range, you know, I mean, on a limit, that's five limit up days. So you can rally corn a dollar in a week if things get pretty crazy.
Corn futures this week rallied just 7.5 cents. They had a high of 5.28¾, a low at $4.91. The March settled 7.5 higher at 5.08. December contract at 5.30, up 11 cents from last week. You know, would you advise buying cheap out of the money 350 puts to protect against the downside risk? And I'm thinking we went through on Friday afternoon with Daryl Good what some kinds of strategies he would be thinking about deploying for this coming year. So that would protect just the downside below what you would have on your crop insurance coverage.
I actually think that's a really good idea. I'm not in a big hurry to do it yet. Right now we're at a 5.27 February average with two solid weeks and a partial week to go. Get to the end of February and revisit that. But especially for bushels that you don't want to have sold, stuff that you store on farm, absolutely be looking at those, because 350 seems unreasonable today. But by the time next fall comes around, we don't know where the market might be.
I better check. So I've got one who's working with the tech side and still thinking it's possible that we've got a top in, but technicians tend to hedge themselves and wait until they get some sign that it's truly in. How about the other two here? What are you thinking about the corn market only?
Well, technicals work in the short term. I think they're great for picking an exit point, but the fundamentals seem strong. If wheat's any indicator of what's to come in corn, it seems like we work higher, especially, as Matt said earlier, if there's any kind of weather holdups.
Matt?
Well, whenever I look at the corn market, I'm looking at it from a revenue standpoint for my customers, and I think that if I'm going to look at this thing, I can't tell you where it's going to go. This is so crazy of a market. Several people have been baffled by what corn's been able to do without going into a weather problem. I heard people say we couldn't make, you know, an all-time high in the corn market without summer weather problems in 08. Well, you know, that doesn't look like that panned out so good, and I was one of the guys that said that. So what I think that I want to do at this point is I want to protect the downside. You know, buying out of the money puts is okay. I don't have any problem with that. I'd like to buy puts, maybe spend a little bit more money on them and look at it as a cost of production, because there's a lot of revenue on the table, and I want to protect as much of it as I can.
Yeah, I like the puts. This week we've had puts on. We made 10 cents on the puts. We made 9 cents on the futures. So puts went up with the market this year. But you've got to be a little cautious. Fundamentally, 1.4 billion bushel, that's a pretty good carryout estimate. Before, we've been much tighter, never moved the market this high. Plus, too, I think something we're forgetting, though, is feed usage. They up feed usage, and we're double-dipping in feed use, because look at GDDs. They're sky high because guys are buying the byproduct of ethanol, and you can't count that twice.
Let's take a look at some of the rumors that went through the board this week. There were a couple of pretty good ones. This one came, was voiced, and then dispelled all in a couple of days. EPA will push back the implementation of the RFA. U.S. EPA answered, heck no. So we'll just won't talk about that, but I think that's probably a good push on what happened on Wednesday. Elevators are so strapped for cash that they've rolled out of their hedges rather than meeting margin calls. Maybe we can have you take that one up in a moment. And the Department of Justice, this one's fact, but the impact is rumor. The DOJ says exchanges shouldn't have anything to do with clearing functions. And then there was a rumor that the folks on the floor had a lot of collateral tied up, and they thought maybe that since it dropped 11% on Wednesday this week, they should get out of some positions there. So let's start with the elevators. Did they roll out? Are they scared of the margin calls?
Well, I read the same things, I guess, that you did. Personally speaking, we didn't roll out of any hedges. Definitely, I think you've got elevators strapped for cash. But I do think that in most situations, it's pretty tough unless you're just going to go basis only. I know there are several people that are going basis only farther out. As far as this fall, I think most people are still hedging the grain. Maybe there are some people that rolled out. We didn't. I think that it's a tough ball game right now. A person's going to have to stand put and, stick with their game plan.
First, before we go into that, just a note on the ethanol mandates you mentioned earlier that were rumored and disbanded at once. The mandate for 2008 is over a 28% increase over our usage in 2007, a 9 billion gallon mandate.
That's
versus
correct.
7 billion gallon usage. Just keep that in the back of your head as we're in the second month of 08. I've been hearing some rumors also about elevators blowing out of positions, first in the wheat market. I think that's very dangerous for your business, and when that's happening, you have to be very cautious. But I can say that we have not gotten in that situation at this point, thank goodness. But us, along with everyone else, are throwing great caution at this. You can see it at the basis, especially on the processor level. Wide basis, encouraging people to hold it longer, not carrying as much inventory on hand at one time, and limiting how much of it gets hedged in the distance out there. You got to just put a pencil to your cost of interest. Even look at $1 out of the money per bushel for a year. Look at even in 09, 2010, and any margin, profit margin, I should say, is eaten up in your cost of carrying the hedge margin.
Your point on the EPA and the RFS at the $9 billion is that there's a lot of fundamental push there yet for corn prices to remain high.
If the United States government tells us we have to use it and the production capacity is there, then the grain gets used.
And there's one other thing, too, to remember. Cargill built an ethanol facility in Central America, and I think they had visions of importing ethanol, and we could get in a situation, too. We got these mandates, and if energy levels stay higher, I think we could move to other types of import of ethanol.
I agree absolutely with Kurt on that one because, I think that's a big deal because if we got to look at this import tariff we have right now on foreign-produced ethanol. Today, the government sets it up so that it's pretty unattractive to import ethanol from South America, but that's set to expire at the end of 08. We'll have a new president in at that time, and we don't know where we're going to be as far as a nation, and if food prices continue to increase, it's real easy to point the finger, and we're already seeing it here, whether it's justified or not, at ethanol production causing high food prices. So that's something that we really have to keep a watch on. And 12 months from now, are we going to be still having the same import tariff? Whether or not it's required usage doesn't mean it has to be produced in the United States at that point.
We started the show with wheat. We ought to move into that now. March contract, 1093 for the high in Chicago, the low at 948. Settlement price up $1.50 in Chicago. In Chicago this week, $1.50 higher at $10.93. And July futures at 983.5 finished $1.09 higher. Ever seen that one happen before? A buck higher in wheat for the week? That's I guess we've covered wheat pretty thoroughly out of Minneapolis and Kansas City both, so maybe we don't need to make too many comments on it, but
one quick note came late in the day to me out of Chicago, and we'll see on Monday if it's true or not, but the talk is the limits are gonna be expanded on all exchanges up to 60 cents on Monday, 90 on Tuesday, and we'll see from there. So it takes less limit days to make such a dollar move, and maybe that'll help this come to a boil a little bit quicker.
And how quickly do you think that would happen? And 60, I heard 45 on Friday afternoon, but apparently you got something a little later than I did. And across all three exchanges, Kansas City, Chicago, and
that's what my source is saying.
Will it fix the problem? I guess the question is really, can it fix the problem with Minneapolis grain exchange wheat? With Minneapolis wheat, can it fix that problem?
Who in their right mind today wants to go out and short the Minneapolis market?
But the cash market's leading it, right?
Cash market's leading it. I have a good friend that farms in western Minnesota, and he called the other day and said, well, what's your wheat basis? And I told him negative basis, of course, in central Illinois. And he says locals are posted $1.40 over, but nobody has it. So, yes, you're exactly right. The cash market is driving it. Folks owning western grown white wheat, hard wheat, can pretty much name their price on it today.
So when you look at the synthetic bin, it's what, $20, $22? That's just crazy. You know, I guess a guy's got to be glad that he's not short the wheat market. But I don't know what's going to happen with wheat. I've heard rumors also of them just flat out doing away with it, with the limits on Minneapolis. So that would obviously find your value pretty quickly in that situation. But I got a date of February 25th. It's just a rumor, I think, with our noon comments today. So I don't know if there's anything to it. But, I think that limits are going to expand. I think I would like to see what's going to happen if – you know, if corn and bean limits are going to expand as well. We've all heard that, and I personally would be opposed to expanding those very much because I think it's going to be even more of a strain on the grain industry.
March corn, or rather March soybeans this week, made a new contract high, $13.74.5. I think that happened on Friday afternoon. Lows at $12.88.5. Settlement price at $13.39. They were up 51.75 from last week. November beans up 31 cents for the new crop at $12.85. USDA numbers. The report lowered U.S. soybean ending stocks by 15 million bushels to 160 million bushels. That compares to 175 last month. This was a bit below trade expectations and showed the crush and export demand are both better than expected. Soybean exports raised 10 million bushels and crush raised 5 million. U.S. meal exports were raised by 300,000 ton. Oil exports raised by 300 million pounds. However, biodiesel usage lowered on the oil, soil, and S&D tables by 400 million pounds. Once again, the March contract making a new high this week. What does the technician say?
Well, there's concerns that this last week's high didn't record a key reversal up front, but it was a reversal down. You know, the momentum can be stalling here. Beans, just like corn, went back up to about 62% back to the highs there. It's just a matter whether we get follow through. But beans was the weak one going home Friday. I mean, wheat was up there, corn was up there too, and beans sort of gave up ship. Bean demand's been pulled forward in anticipation of higher prices, so we'll have to monitor the bean demand here and see if we're just not front-loading it or not.
Are you ready to plant beans this year?
Well, I think there's certainly going to be more beans planted than last year. We talked before the show, and I think you're going to have several guys that were heavy, heavy corn last year that are going to switch back at least a portion of that to beans. And I think it makes sense. You know, whenever you look at $12-plus fall beans, it's pretty tough not to pencil that out, especially for a guy that grows 50, 60 bushel beans every year. I think considering input costs, if you don't have your anhydrous spot, gee whiz, I think it's almost a no-brainer.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Greg Wagner of Ag Horizon Strategies.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The outstanding feature this week was the overabundance of precipitation. Much of central Illinois received a hefty combination of snow and rain, while northern Illinois received mostly snow. Across the state, precipitation averaged 2.44 inches. Normally, February is one of our driest months, averaging only 2 inches, so we already exceeded that amount in the first week. Because much of the rain fell on saturated and largely frozen soils, we saw extensive flooding in central Illinois. Snowfall in the first 7 days of February was widespread across the state, with amounts ranging from 2 inches in far southern Illinois to over 20 inches in northern Illinois. Antioch reported 26.5 inches, the most of any site in the state. If this continues, several sites in northern Illinois could see snowfall totals rival those set in the late 70s. Despite the wintry conditions, temperatures were above average for the week. The statewide temperature was 32.5 degrees, 8 degrees above average. National Weather Service forecast calls for more winter weather in the coming week. Temperatures will dip down into the single digits this weekend before warming slightly as the week progresses. The 8 to 14 day forecast calls for colder than average temperatures and near-average precipitation. The good news is that the days are getting longer and March is just around the corner. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign County, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to Commodity Week. Our guest is in Chicago at Ag Horizon Strategies. His name is Greg Wagner, and I'll bet he's had a busy week following the marketplace. Greg, tell me what the situation in Chicago is like this week.
This is, we live in truly, truly extraordinary times. The idea that you could have wheat trading synthetically at $21 a bushel up in Minneapolis is phenomenal. That we'd be looking at corn prices trading above $5 and bean prices in the teens, you know. There used to be the old bullish mantra here at the board, you know, beans in the teens. And now you see wheat not only in the teens, but you're at $20, $21.
What are your expectations for the wheat market and how that will play out next week? And what have you seen or heard as of late Friday afternoon about expanded limits or spec margin, any of those sorts of things?
Well, here's what I think is going to happen, Todd. We have there are a couple of things going on right now, and I can't underestimate. I mean, this is my assessment of the situation, what's going on with Minneapolis wheat, is that I don't think the gravity of the situation could be underestimated. They will have expanded limits of 40 cents on Monday. Beyond that, I don't believe there's been any kind of announcement. They will go to a limitless range on February 25th. Which is a Monday, and that is because the cereal options will expire on Friday, February 22nd, both here at the Board of Trade, Minneapolis, and Kansas City. But principally, the concern is Minneapolis. Now, when you consider that if we had a theoretical settlement of $21 a bushel from March, Minneapolis, you know, hard red spring wheat, we will go, there are 9 trading days before that limit can expand. We could put $3.60 on this contract from where it's settled today at $15.53, which was, of course, lock limit up. So you still have a $2 to go if that were to play out as expected on February 25th. But I think the more important aspect to this is that it becomes a, it has the potential, I should say, of becoming a political lightning rod. You know, we're in a political year, there's a presidential election going on, there's congressional elections going on, there's Senate elections going on, and the idea of food inflation, and if you peg this wheat for 9 straight days where it doesn't trade, and you're looking, this is gradually going to disseminate to the larger media audience. And my concern is it gets picked up in a political debate, and then a whole other set of circumstances might occur, and I could address those in a moment.
Well, Greg, if you're one that is caught short in the wheat market, what's your best idea or strategy to sort of hedge that or try to get out of it?
Well, number one, hope to God you're not caught short. Number two, you have very deep pockets and a good credit line. But as far as getting out, you could always get out on a spread, and that's one viable alternative, and obviously with options. So there's you know, I guess it's important to remember that anytime you're wish to get out of a limit move position, you could spread out of that position. But it is obviously done at a price, and again with the options, and that's where you're getting your synthetic prices that were trading in the $20 to $22 range today.
Greg, it's Matt Bennett here. This Matt presents a whole set of dilemmas. I think, you know, whenever you look at expanding trading limits, obviously with this Minneapolis situation. To get price discovery, I guess that's what we're looking for. What do you feel about expanding limits, you know, in corn and beans as well, and how do you feel that that's going to impact the grain industry like we were talking before? Because being in the grain elevator business, I know preliminarily what I think that might do, and there's already quite a bit of strain in the first place. If we go ahead and keep dragging corn and beans along, it's the strain is going to continue to be on, and I think if you look at wider limits, you're looking at a bigger margin as well. So do you think that we are going to go ahead and expand in corn and beans, and what do you think that's going to do to us?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Matt. Ultimately, if we could backtrack for a moment and wonder why you have Minneapolis wheat trading at $15.53 with a 40-cent, at first now expanding the limit to 40 cents when you had expanded limits for soybeans trading at 50 cents when soybeans were half that price. That becomes an issue. I think that without question, the trend is towards expanding limits and also increasing position size for funds. There's no question that's where the trend is going. As far as the value of that or non-value, it was, I think it first came to the forefront back in 1987 when we had the first stock market crash, and a lot of people pointed fingers at the stock index futures, and we put limits on those. That was the last serious debate on trading limits. Perhaps there'll be another one coming up. My greater concern with the wheat market in Minneapolis in particular is because of it may become a political lightning rod. You have a small exchange with a very, very big problem. Wheat is something that everybody understands. It's related to food. It has a mass association with bread, with food, staff of life, the whole thing, as opposed to soybeans or so on. My concern is also that in order to resolve this price lock limit, freeze, whatever you want to call it, this dilemma of sorts in Minneapolis, that an action would be taken where there is only a, what they say, only you liquidate existing positions only. So there were no new positions taken in a Board of Trade. There's precedence back when Ferruzzi tried to corner the bean market in 1989.
And they did liquidation only at that
yes.
time.
Yes. Do you remember that, Todd?
I reported on it.
Oh, okay. I remember that was 89. I remember going in, and we had a teletype, literally a teletype machine back then. And the ding, 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 and it was the opening call for July soybeans were in delivery, so we didn't have to worry about limits, but July beans were called a buck and a quarter lower, $1.25 lower. So there's legal precedence, and it was done, Todd, remember back in 1979 in the silver market when the Hunt brothers tried to corner silver. So I think the exchange would be protected with legal precedent if they were saying liquidation only. In other words, you cannot buy or you cannot sell any new positions in March Minneapolis wheat and do that in conjunction, let's say, where they could actually pull the limits off the wheat. I don't know if they have the authority. I imagine they would, but in any event, my concern is this thing is going to end badly, and it's not going to be, it's going to upset all these other markets.
And would it end badly in the liquidation form that you're talking about, or are you prescribing that at this point?
I think if we went into a badly to the extent that it in one way or another, a market like this is ultimately going to go down probably as quick as it went up. But a spillover effect if the Minneapolis Grain Exchange were to issue a liquidation only order for March Minneapolis wheat, I think that would ultimately prove to be the top of the market, and it also would potentially, and you can't gauge these things, but potentially have a spillover effect in the corn and soybeans, not dissimilar to what we saw back in, you know, on January 23rd when we came back from President's Day weekend and we sold off like that.
Greg, we're out of time. We thank you for taking the time with us today.
It's a pleasure to join you.
Greg Wagner is with Ag Horizon Strategies out of Chicago, Illinois. Time now, just enough time for a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Wyatt Muse.
It's very wild times. It's important to keep your head about your marketing plan and don't ever think it's too late to put offers in and do the right thing as far as owning options against sales. If it's something you've never done, take time to educate yourself on it. It's time and money well spent.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Matt Bennett is with Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois.
I'd urge producers to keep their perspective, think about where we've been and where we can go, and protect as much income as possible.
And Kirk Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois.
Now, there's no saying, limit up, limit down, relax, use options.
Is that an old saying? That's an old saying. Well, that's probably the way you'll have to do it. Well, just relax. That is this week's edition of Commodity Week. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.